All right, I'll move then to, as we agreed earlier, to item 11.2, which is the potential policy committee appointment of iwi representation. Mr. Donnelly, you're going to join us, please, as the author of the report. So this is page 15 of your agendas. And so in the way of introduction, the executive summary clearly outlines that we had a paper to an earlier council meeting. There were some questions asked. As a result, we had a workshop. And to clarify some questions, and we had iwi representatives present at that workshop. And then this is the follow-up paper. And to get some focus on our debate, I'm going to move the recommendations at this point. Receive the report, endorses the appointment of iwi representatives to the policy committee, and approves the chief executive to write to Ngāi Tahu. I think we should put there writing to Ngāi Tahu Runanga, because it's the local Runanga that we're actually dealing with here, inviting them to recommend two representatives to be appointed to the policy committee. Is there a seconder? Councillor Robertson. All right.
Can I just clarify one thing to do with standing orders? What are the standing orders? So everyone can speak once, but for how long?
10 minutes. Is it? I was going to say 5, but I'm not sure. Mr. Donnelly, can you help us then?
I think the mover has longer. I think they have 10 minutes. Yeah. Everybody else has 5.
Oh, that was right. I think that's correct. But without, yeah, and I would like you to focus your speeches and comments. I'm going to enforce that we, from now on, right through, not just for this item, for the rest of the meeting, that we speak once and adhere to standing orders. Mr. Donnelly, I'll come to you in a minute, Councillor Deggett. Mr. Donnelly, do you want to give us some further introduction to the paper in the way of background, please?
Well, I think you've summed it up quite nicely. It's been ongoing. The first paper came to council in February, and then there was a request to have a further meeting and clarify iwi's position. That workshop was held, and then as a result of that discussion and the discussion earlier in the meeting in February, this proposal has been put forward to appoint two members to the policy committee. And the key thing to note there would be, while they'll be on the policy committee, the terms of reference of the policy committee, of course, then state that the delegation, or there is no delegation for those decisions. They make recommendations to council. So any recommendations from the policy committee will then be going forward to council for final endorsement. So that's where the decision-making authority still sits.
Good. Thank you. Councillor Deacon.
Just a point of clarification on what you said in your comments as mover, that you said, as I understood it, that the council was negotiating with the local Runanga, and I guess by that you mean Otago, but that wouldn't be my understanding at all of this process. This has come through the Manata Mana group, which represents all four Runanga.
Yes.
Which is Otago, Pukaturaki, Moraki, and Pohanui.
Yes.
And the people that they will nominate, if they choose to, for the policy committee, will be from that same spread, which
yes.
is pretty much the whole region,
yes.
apart from Central Otago, where there is yet no Runanga, but they're working on it. So is that what you meant when you said local?
Yes, I meant the four.
Oh, you meant the whole...
Across the region.
And
I was just wanting to ensure that the reference to Ngāi Tahu didn't mean Christchurch.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I should have been clearer.
No, that's fine. I've got it.
So, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Just so that we're all clear there. Yeah. Councillor Robertson.
I was going to speak, but you're the mover. So
that's fine.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I'll get underway then. I guess as chair of the policy committee, I do feel that this is a really important move today and a really beneficial one for the council. I strongly support the recommendations today that we do appoint two iwi representatives. As local government, we make important decisions for our community in the space of land, air and water. And to arm ourselves with the very best collective knowledge, we do form informal working groups, community reference groups, technical advisory groups, subcommittees, committees, and many other groupings to assist our full council make important decisions. So that's, you know, one of the things that we're doing today. So today, as we all know, we're voting on adding two iwi representatives to a policy committee with 14 members. So, yeah, that's an important step, I think, in quality decision-making. We have non-ORC elected members on committees already on this council. There's three that I know of, committees of this council, that have non-elected members. Regional Transport Committee, Audit and Risk, and Otago Civil Defence Emergency Management Group, which are actually all committees. There's actually other ones as well, such as when we form a hearings committee to hear RMA consents, etc. So committees and subcommittees are not council. Only elected members can vote on full council meetings. When we look at the wall over there, we can see that there's an important taonga there. It's an artwork named Kaikitiaki Taonga. It's not a token. It's the only thing we've got on our wall in our council chamber. In the policy document hierarchy, the regional policy statement sits just below the RMA, and we all know that we must recognise Māori relationships, cultures and traditions, and have regard for Kaitiaki Taonga. The RPS is an integrated document. This is, you know, our own regional policy statement, and Chapter 2 is specifically titled Kaitahu Values and Interests Are Recognised, and Kaitiaki Taonga is expressed. Kaitahu themes are integrated throughout the document. The RPS states that it reflects the Kaitahu philosophy of holistic management, ki utu, uta, ki tai, from the mountains to the sea. And, I mean, this holistic thinking is indeed needed as we face important management decisions across the region. From the source to the mouth, to the sea, all things are joined together as one, as a kaitahu saying. It's something that's going to be helpful to us in the way that we need to see things. Sure, we need to meet our obligations under the RMA and the RPS, and that goes without saying, but simply put, how can we effectively manage our land, air and water without Kaitiaki Taonga? Kaitiaki Taonga is about guardianship, care and wise management. Kaitiaki Taonga is a proactive and preventative approach to environmental management. How can we put Kaitiaki Taonga into practice without iwi involvement? How can we speak for iwi? We can't interpret, we must hear first and face to face. Local government's about community. There's no correct structure. This is a way of doing it, and this is a way that iwi feel comfortable about doing it, I understand. Iwi voices around the policy table will be highly beneficial. We're about effectively managing our land, air and water, and we need iwi voices in that conversation. So I strongly support the motion today. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Deacon?
Yeah, I want to support it too. I thank Councillor Robertson for that big overview, but I think the point that we must not lose sight of is Section 81 of the Local Government Act, which includes the word must. In other words, we don't actually have a choice. A local authority must establish and maintain processes to provide opportunity for Māori to contribute to the decision-making processes of the local authority. It's pretty clear, it's pretty black and white, and besides, in the paper that Mr. Donnelly provided us with, he also refers to sections 31, 1.2 in Schedule 7, where it spells out the process by which Section 81 can be achieved. So I see this as a steady progression over the last, oh lordy, 20 years of this council steadily building a relationship with Ngāi Tahu, with the four Rūnaka. We've gone through various ups and downs in building that relationship. It's accelerated a bit in the last few months thanks to the input of our Ngāi Tahu colleagues on the Manatā Mana group, who are seeking a more clear definition of the partnership that the Act requires. So it's all I've been a bit impatient about the pace at which it's been going. But everything we're doing is lawful, it's democratic, it's desirable, and it was been all quite straightforward up until about the last 3 days. But then we've had dozens of people, mostly North Islanders, I note, who probably don't even know where the Dunstan constituency is, and who think that Cromwell was a bloke who monstered the Irish some centuries ago. They've been dog-whistled in and have showered us with words like, and I've just gone through the dozens of emails and picked out, what have we been called? We've been called undemocratic. We've been called privileged, racist, unethical, left-leaning PC control freaks, came in this morning. I really like that one. And we've been described as exercising obnoxious racism. It's all quite stunning. Now, there are parts of me that say, good on you, Councillor Laws, because the Dunstan constituency is clearly going to be a knife-edge exercise in this coming election. And he's a very effective populist politician in a sort of a Trumpian way. So, you know, you can say good on you. But in fact, what we're going through here is a process which is we're entitled to and we are required to by the Local Government Act. I'm right behind it. I'm keen for it to happen. I want to see the policy committee broadened with input from our Ngāi Tahu partners, and I'll be the strongest supporter of those people when they arrive, if that's what Ngāi Tahu choose to do. What we're doing here is empowering them and inviting them to nominate people. If their credentials are right, if they've got the skills we need, we'll be applauding and we'll say, kia ora, come on in. No mai, haere mai. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Councillor Scott.
I agree with everything that's been said before me from Councillor Robinson and Councillor Deacon. Thank you. Look, from a practical perspective, we've got a lot of challenges coming up as a council. Deemed permits, water consents, minimum flows. What better opportunity is there than roll up our sleeves with our iwi treaty partners and debate to learn and ideally come up with a solution that's really good. You know, we've talked about, you know, is it a reasonable situation we're proposing? Two seats out of 14, you know, and then still to be ratified at council. It seems to me it's reasonable. You know, what's this all about? From my perspective, it's all about respect for our treaty partners. It's about, actually, we're under the pump in terms of timeline and so forth, and this is a way of getting a more efficient process. We're going to be at the table working together. It's about embracing the view, the long timeline view of our iwi partners, and ideally at the end of the day, better outcomes for our community. So look, hey, I'm excited.
Councillor Bell.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I just want to say I have the most utmost respect for the Maori and the iwi and Renunga representatives that I've seen around the table here or in our chamber over the last nearly 6 years. But And I've valued their work, especially in the water aspect and through policy and science. But I took the liberty of phoning around a lot of my people that I know in my constituency in Dunstan, and that was from all corners. And I got a clear message, and I guess that message, this is what the message is really. It was saying that they needed iwi in the room, but not voting rights. And that was the clear message that I got. It was expressed to me that iwi have made a very valuable contribution around the table, and one particular gentleman that had been involved with him in the Kyburn group said that this was a very valuable part of that process. But again, he wasn't sure about the voting rights. Members of the current TAG, or a member of the current TAG group who I spoke to this morning, indicated to me that it is important part of the mechanism that we have iwi involved, and they need to work with the ORC as part of that mechanism on policy and science. And he sees the value of them being part of that. Again, he wasn't sure about the voting rights. But out of that, what I'm trying to say, there is definitely a lot of respect, as I have as an individual, on what they do in front of us and as part of us in making decisions. I think, in my own personal view, is that iwi need to be encouraged to put up their hand for the coming elections, for the next Tauranan. It's not too late, and there's a lot of great people out there that I believe that could be voted into this council chamber. And I know that one of my other colleagues has approached a couple of them, but I'll let him, if he wishes to, explain that. But I just want to, what a lot of people tell me is that the members in the House of Parliament are elected there as either electoral members or as list members, but they've been approved by their community through endorsement, whether it's a party or whatever, to be able to be there, and then they've gone before the ballot box. So I believe that the ballot box, at the end of the day, is the proper place for those people to be able to vote on in this chamber. Thank you.
Councillor Lawton, you had your hand up, I think.
Thank you. This is a challenging one for me because I really believe in the need for a close partnership and to continue to develop what that means, but also the process has been terrible again. Councillor Scott, you say it's a good way to fast-track the process. We don't know that. We haven't actually had a conversation. Sorry, I'm speaking. We haven't had a conversation around this table. The MOU from 2003... The purpose of the MOU is to outline ways in which the community and Ngāi Tahu can work together. So it defines mechanisms. This particular mechanism of appointing Ngāi Tahu or mana whenua reps onto the policy committee is not included in the MOU. We haven't had the conversation. There may have been conversations at mana to mana. That's fine, but it hasn't been around this table. And in previous conversations, we've had a lot of questions about this. And in this particular report, these questions have still not been answered. We can't show a clear process to our community to be able to communicate how we ended up in this position, and that really worries me. That's not to say that I don't think it's potentially a good idea. It's that we still haven't had the information. I wanted to have a range of options of how we might progress from, you know, previously we were asked to consult with mana whenua iwi, and now we're asked to partner. And partnering's where I think we need to be, but how do we partner and what's the best way? We haven't explored those. Looking around the country, there's lots of ways that other councils have done that, and it has often included a conversation with their community. So I'd like us to think about that. There is also a point in which, you know, I think we need to make sure it's transparent about how, you know, representatives are put to the committees. And so I did go to Edward Ellison to ask how that happened after looking through the website. And there is a process, and I do think that it's robust, which is great, but again, that information wasn't provided to us, and it also, you know, after I'd already asked that question previously, I think it's important our community understands that there's a robust process that those representatives would go through if they were chosen to, you know, or proposed to be put onto the committee. So, I actually... where to from here? I think, unfortunately, the report doesn't provide a good explanation as to why we should do this, but some of the other comments made around this table today have, and I'd like to support those. But I'd also like to propose, in addition to the motion, which is D, which is to post-election, but before the end of the calendar year, the 2003 MOU will be reviewed and partnership will be defined. And I think what this does is give us an opportunity to sit down with our partner and clear and have the conversation, is this really the best way? You know, if, and they could appoint before this, but they could also ask to maybe hold off that, and have the conversation, is this the best way? And if we then also choose that we go out to our community, then so be it. It will be up to Ngāi Tahu to decide if they go ahead and appoint or if they wait until that agreement takes place. It does need to be with the new council. This will affect the new council. And I think that it gives us a clear, transparent process of a way through. I hate to hold it up. I realise there's a lot going on, but I do think that it means that our community can come along for the ride.
Thank you, Councillor Norton. Mrs Gardner, can you just explain, there's been an amendment or an extra aspect to the legislation passed about 12 months ago, and the title there is Mana
Whanau
Agreements. And so we've been having some conversations with iwi around that, and it might just help explain some of the reason that some of our current, where we are currently. So can you just give us some context around that, please?
Certainly. So I think we have talked about this briefly in workshops and at Manatamana. So in addition to the obligations that Councillor Deka correctly pointed out under the Local Government Act, there was some recognition recently about the intent of the involvement of iwi in decision-making under the RMA, so under planning processes inside of the RMA. And this recent law reform was to recognise that the working arrangements that iwi had expected under the RMA had not come to fruition, and that there was further support for those that was required. So in terms of how that reflects, it's about Māori and the way that they participate or are involved in decision-making processes. And these agreements are called Mana Whakahono Irohi Agreements. They are specifically in the legislation referred to as iwi participation arrangements. And so it does make a clear path in terms of the expectation that these participation arrangements are for iwi, as in local tangata whenua, or in our case, the four Rūnaka. There are two ways that these agreements can come together, and we have had some early discussions with Ngāi Tahu. I believe this approach from our iwi partners is in relation to really a precursor to a full Mana Whakahono agreement. And it is really about the role that they will play in decision-making in the future and under these RMA matters. The two ways that these agreements can be made, tangata whenua can approach us to enter into an agreement, or we can also show an intent to do that ourselves. but it is a process. As far as I'm aware, in terms of formalised agreements, I think there's only a couple in the country at the moment, and they are coming to fruition. But I just wanted to be clear that we do actually have these new obligations to find a way to enable that decision-making collaboration, if you like, with iwi. That's above and beyond consultation.
And did that come into the RMA in 2018 or 2017?
It came into force on the 19th of April 2017.
2017, mm-hmm. So it's reasonably recent. Yeah. Councillor Laws.
Actually, I have that here in front of me here, and in actual fact, it doesn't involve just the Otago Regional Council. It involves all regions. So if you were to start a mana whakahono arohe, you would in actual fact have the Dunedin City Council, Clutha, Central Otago, Queenstown Lakes and Waitaki involved as well. And the initiative in this very clearly, and the Ministry of Environment have sent out this, which I hope the Chief Executive has read, in actual fact shows quite clearly that the initiative is to come from iwi, and it's to go through a formal process and structure. And here it is. I've got three objections to this current motion, and they are based upon one, timing, two, principle, and three, practicality. The first issue on timing, it's my estimation that we've got, what, two more council rounds, Michael, before the end of this particular term, and then we head into elections. And I'd like to thank Councillor Lawton for doing something that perhaps should have been done by the council, but was done at her initiative, and that is to write to Edward Allison and to ask what his understanding of this process was today. And I thought that Edward's return email was honest and it was direct, and I congratulate him upon it, but it does send off a number of alarm bells. But putting that to one side for now, what it's clearly obvious is that we probably won't get any of those people appointed before elections. Because now, according to what... is that correct, Ella? They've now got to go through a process to, in actual fact, find out who that person is, invite submissions and a whole series of things. And so you ask the question, why now? Because this really is an issue for the incoming council at the triennium, when we go through the governance structures and processes and formally go through that process straight after the election with a new council. That was the proper way to do that. The second thing I've got on timing is this. Well, it's a sort of practicality, but it's also a principle. There's a lot of nonsense being talked about meeting our obligations under the Local Government Act. Boy, I wish some people had read that before they said that. Because the Local Government Act doesn't actually relate to iwi. I've said this to you before. It relates to Māori. And it is very clear that by appointing two iwi representatives onto the policy committee, you are not satisfying the Local Government Act. Because the Local Government Act is about increasing participation of all Māori, not just local Runanga, in the decision-making and participatory processes of the Otago Regional Council. Again and again in the Biosecurity Act, cited again in this paper, the Biosecurity Act's got two mentions of iwi, and the rest of it is about Māori. What you are doing with this piece of legislation is actually excluding non-iwi Māori from the role that you think you are. And you know why? Because this council has never had a conversation, picking up Councillor Lawton's line, about what partnership really means. And we needed that discussion first before we started getting into a fait accompli, which is being presented to us now. So, I mean, there really is a timing and a principle issue. The other issue around principle for me is quite clear. Everybody who sits around this table and creates policy for everybody in Otago, as I've been constantly reminded by the chairman ever since I got elected to this, must have the best interests of Otago at heart. We are represented, or we are, the constituent representatives, and we are elected to play that role. There aren't non-elected people here. We have a mandate, and we have a mandate to look after Otago. Again, in the email that Ella was kind enough to circulate to us, it's quite clear what Edward expects his iwi representatives to be doing. Advancing the best interests of Ngāi Tahu, whatever they might be. It's in here. I can read it to you direct. We just think it makes sense to have two people providing the policy committee, just like any other contractor, an individual, and that they would be there to provide their expertise and cultural lens to discussions. They are not elected by the ORC or politicians. The two representatives will be required to maintain currency with Ngāi Tahu policy and processes on environmental matters. But Edward's been very honest about it. They're here to promote the interests of Ngāi Tahu. Now, again, I have problems with that. You're not elected by Otago. You're setting policy for all of Otago, but you're only going to favour one small portion of our community, partnership principles or not. I then have the other issue here, which is that, and can I just answer, and to be fair, Michael, just to answer your dog whistling claim, and you expected me to, so I'm going to, my friend. Listen, this is an issue of principle for me. We haven't consulted on it. We're spending money in this financial plan on this issue. At no stage have we gone to the community at large and said, are we going to consult with you? We're going to have to find money in this financial year. This isn't some biosecurity emergency like wallabies. This is policy. And so we should have, in actual fact, put it in our draft annual plan or our draft plan, and we should be consulting on it right now and getting public feedback. But nope, we're not going to do that. I suspect. And yet, here's the irony. We've already rejected unanimously Māori wards for the Otago Regional Council. What was the argument? No, we can't do that because that would advantage one racial group over another. And yet, this is exactly what you're doing now, by advantaging iwi. So where's the logical consistency? 18 months ago, you rejected Māori wards, every one of you around this table. And you said one of the reasons was you can't have racial preference. No, we can't do that. We haven't consulted on it. Bang! We're going to have two iwi representatives on the policy council, and they're going to have voting and rights, and we're going to pay them. There's no logical consistency there. Iwi, as Edward points out in this email, have outstanding relationships with this Otago Regional Council. They've got no problem accessing this council. They are given statutory rights to be of consultation and statutory rights to, in actual fact, mandate or look at every piece of legislation or policy that comes out of this particular committee. They're still going to have that right. So they're going to get two bites at the cherry, are they? On the one hand, they're going to be able to create the policy, and then they're still going to be object to it on the other side. That's not right. No other group in our community has that right. No other community gets to appoint their own representative, irrespective of the community, and without being elected. No other group in that community is so advantaged. So I think on principle this is wrong as well. Timing, principle, practicality. The best thing that we could do is, in actual fact, raise this issue at the triennium, go out for public consultation, define what partnership really means, set up one of the groups that was considered by the legislation in 2017, and then progress this forward. This is a preemptive strike to get round Māori wards, and I believe it's fundamentally wrong.
Councillor Neil.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I'm somewhat surprised at the amount of public interest this is. Almost a little disappointed, really. I mean, it's not. It's. I know it's an important issue, but why suddenly the media has taken such an interest bewilders me a little. But be that as may, Edward has been mentioned. Edward Ellison has been mentioned a few times, and I'm going to mention him again because Edward had an article in yesterday's paper. Well, a brief little comment, which commented that council laws do not understand the statutory responsibilities of council partnership with iwi. Actually, I agree with Edward. Council laws is a lot of things, but dummy is not. In fact, quite the opposite. I think council laws actually understands what council laws wants to understand. I welcome the partnership with iwi, and it is a partnership, and I have pulled up chair people and said, when they've said, called them affected parties, hey, hey, we're talking partnership here. But I don't believe that this is the way to further the partnership. It didn't work last time with the technical committee, and there have been reasons progressed to me about why it didn't work, and I don't accept those reasons. I think the climate is almost exactly the same, and it won't work for the same reasons. And there's a host of reasons, but one of them is, in particular, that those two people, while they're a member of that committee, and Councillor Robson talked about we having outside people on other committees, but they're not committees like these committees where our whole committee are part of, and they don't meet regularly like this around this table. So here are these two people, let's say, and along they come, and they're only there for that one committee. And there's so much overlap from committee to committee. One of the major issue we've got now is water. Next year, in comes 6A. Now, iwi are obviously totally interested in water, and so they should be. But who's going to be administering 6A? Not the policy committee. It'll be the regulatory committee. So there's a whole lot of work that they need to be involved in as well. They wouldn't have anybody on that committee. We've just completed the work on the freshwater management units. And we had a working group from staff along with two very well qualified iwi representation. That staff body came along, including the representatives, and presented this to our council. And we overwhelmingly just accepted it. They'd done such a good job. And they'd done such a good job in part because of that representation. That, to me, is partnership. One thing I do agree with Michael, Council of Laws, about is the timing. I don't believe this should be happening now. It should be happening, if it is going to happen, it should be happening at the beginning of the next triennium. And I would like to think that in the next triennium there would be at least one or two good candidates who happen to be Maori as well. Now, I know you're going to say, or people would say, yes, but they represent all of Otago. Of course they do, absolutely, just like we do. But they also bring a Maori perspective to the table. And there is plenty of people out there who would make excellent candidates. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so that's my part about this. One thing I would like to further, though, is, and I'm not sure how Elle's going to pick that up, because she talked about a D clause, but it does alter the whole motion, so I don't know how that's going to marry up. But I did support what she actually had to say. I just want to touch on remuneration, and this is a side issue, really. But it's an amusing one, because I've got no problem with the amount. But it's the rationale used to arrive at the amount. 20% of a base salary is councillor's salary. 20%. One committee of five. Yeah, that's 20%. But I'm a base salary councillor. Is that all I do, is go along to five committee meetings? No, we've got an equal number of council meetings as well, not to mention all the other work that you have to do. So whilst I'm not arguing about the amount, the rationale that has been arrived at, don't understand it. Anyway, I've had my say. As it stands, I am opposed to the motion.
Councillor Kempton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I suppose part of my kind of engineering discipline is to break things down a little bit and define some things. Council committees and council are very, very different things. Council committees are not decision-making bodies. Council committees are recommending bodies. All right? And the elected body makes the decisions. Now, we kind of get a bit confused about that because we've got this scene where we have five committees that are committees of the whole. Now, I don't know why that is the case, but I've always kind of accepted it. never railed against it. But we need to get our mind out of that mindset, because at the beginning of every triennium, first of all, we say, are the committees, have they got the right names? Have we got enough? The only things we haven't challenged is whether they should be committees of the whole, or whether, as we're entitled to under the Local Government Act, we should also be introducing some other expert element from outside the council. We have got enormous flexibility in the way that we set up committees that we shouldn't forget. And we've always had it, and many councils actually exploit it. We haven't. And maybe this is the time to do that a bit more actively than we might have in the past. So I just don't get wound up about the fact that this is undemocratic. It is not. Council needs to be served by effective committees, which no doubt will have a significant proportion of their membership coming from within council. But they may also have some other people who will help enhance that purpose. And I think we've got to keep that in mind. So I'm not getting wound up about that, because the decision-making body is council. It's the only one. So I think that, and from the point of view of justification around iwi involvement, I don't think we need to overthink this, right? Because we can change it at any time, and iwi can come along with us as well, but we certainly do have some significant, we have to make some significant consideration of iwi, as Councillor Robertson has already talked about, with respect to the RMA, and we have reflected that comprehensively in the RPS that this council has adopted, albeit it's sort of sitting out there in the ether at the moment. All right, so we've accepted that, but on top of that, we must remember that current government, through NPSFW, has given that another push specifically relating to water. Right, the expectation specifically relating to water is higher, much higher than it's ever been, and I think that, and I absolutely understand that this council's biggest issues are around water. Now, there may be a point where we're well through that, and we may well change the constitution of that committee because there are some other imperatives that we've got to look to. So I think that, from my point of view, a practical and pragmatic and direct means of satisfying RMA, RPS, NPSF, the re-emphasis on iwi involvement in NPSFW is actually to tack a couple of people onto that committee, remembering that that is not a democratically elected body, and the democratically elected body still makes the decision. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Kempton. Councillor Brown, do you want to say anything?
I, Mr. Chairman, I support the motion. I just support what's largely been said in support of the motion. I think, I found those emails bordering on being offensive, as we mentioned, most of them from the North Island, and probably got little understanding of what goes on in Otago and the Otago situation. So I've read through the memorandum of understanding. It talks about partnership. It's all about partnership. And I think this will do nothing but enhance that partnership.
On you. All right, I'm going to say a few words. I'm going to endeavour not to repeat because there's been the topic's been well canvassed. As you're all aware, our relationship with the local Runanga iwi has been evolving over time. We've had the Mana to Mana, we've got a Tarupatayo group, there's been a range of different ways, and in fact membership of one of our committees has been mentioned, we're aware of, has occurred in the past. But we do and must continue to always look for ways to enhance our relationship from a two-way partnership relationship perspective, but also looking for opportunities to enhance the decision-making ability of this council. And that is where I see the biggest advantage in this proposal. Iwi have indicated that if we do extend an invite to them, they will look for people with RMA expertise and able to assist us around this governance table at an early stage of our processes as we have conversations and discussions in the policy committee. And so we're actually potentially a win-win here from an advantage with respect to experience and knowledge and understanding of the process we're working through. And of course, add an iwi flavour to our discussions, and that's important. I'm going to repeat this when I've finished, but what appears to be getting forgotten by some people here is that actually the Runanga, the four Runanga, have asked for this membership. Didn't generate it out of ORC. They formally requested membership at our policy committee. They can see the workload that we've currently got in front of us with our water plan, minimum flows and the likes, but also we've indicated very clearly to the wider community that we're starting the process of the full review of a water plan. Crucial bit of work that will go on for a number of years. There's been comments made about we need to be consulting Maori. Well, we will still be consulting the wider community, including all Maori. This is not excluding anyone. And the other discussion and the comments that were made around the process that we went through with respect to deciding whether there would be Maori wards or not. Again, we seek feedback from our iwi partners on whether there is some feeling in the community, whether they are ready to have Maori wards in the Otago region. And the answer over the years, because I've been involved several times now when that question's been asked and that conversation's occurred, has always been no. With respect to timing, yes, it's getting near the end of the triennium, but actually our hope around Christmas time, because this question was asked pre-Christmas, it was in the later part of 2018, that we would be able to move through this process reasonably quickly. But here we are in early May, and yes, there's only two or three meeting rounds left, but in my view, with the work program in front of us, sooner the better. And I'm sure iwi will move expeditiously as quickly as they can if we decide to instruct the Chief Executive to write to the Runanga and ask to appoint a couple of representatives. This is not a new topic for them. They will have been thinking of candidates for quite some time, although Edward has been very clear they haven't got in front of the process. Hurry up and resolve your decision, ORC. So clearly, as a mover of the recommendations, I'm in support, and I think this is a very good opportunity. It has potential to significantly strengthen our ability around decision-making information around policy committee, and Councillor Kempton's just outlined the difference between council and committees. So I'll leave it there.
Chair, I asked for an addition to the motion.
Yeah, so that's an extra
and
resolution.
Just to be clear, yes. Paragraph 13 specifically says the appointment will be fixed term, ideally aligning with council triennium.
Yes.
So what I've asked for is that if that appointment is made or the, you know, Ngāi Tahu decide to make that appointment,
yes,
it will be in the new term, and at that time we will review the MOU, which will lead into the process that our Chief Executive has just, for the first time, I remember ever hearing about. So I still think it'll be valuable because it'll be a conversation we'll be having around this table.
Yep. So I don't. That's not an amendment to the current recommendations.
It's an addition.
It's
addendum.
It's addendum. So my intention is to take the initial recommendations, which have been moved and seconded, and then deal with your recommendation.
Point of order, Mr. Chair. Can I ask the question of you as the mover,
mm-hmm,
and the seconder? Is this motion only for the two meetings or only relevant to the two meetings of this current council? Because all the committees dissolve.
Yes.
So,
Mrs.
Gardner, is that correct?
It can only be.
For the two committee meetings.
For this triennium.
For this triennium.
Yes.
Right, thank you.
Mr. Donnelly, can you clarify that, please?
Yeah, what the paper said is that it would need to be ratified. So iwi's going to have to come back with who they recommend. That's then going to have to be approved by council.
Yes.
And we noted there that the terms of reference would have to be amended. So That's assuming, for the two, assuming that that's done in time for that. So it could be that it doesn't even get done for those two. It depends how quickly things move from here.
See, Michael?
Yep. And then it will need to be the terms of reference for the policy committee into the new triennium will need to be ratified by council and the appointees ratified, whether it's the same two or two new ones, post the election as well.
Yes. Yep. All right. So I'm going to now put the recommendations, and I will call for a division and to make it very clear, and then we'll come back to the later recommendation. Then we're all clear on the recommendations?
Yep.
Just want to clear, you work your way through the councillors' names?
Okay, so Councillor Bell?
Against.
Councillor Brown?
For.
Deeker?
For.
Hope it's not here. Kempton?
For.
Laws?
Opposed.
Lawton?
For.
Neil?
Opposed.
Robertson?
For.
Scott?
For.
And Woodhead?
For.
7-3.
Yes, I declare the recommendations carried 7-3. All right, Councillor Lawton, you've moved a further recommendation. Have we got the wording for that?
The wording that I took down was post-election, but before the end of the calendar year, the 2003 MOU will be reviewed and partnership be defined. That's verbatim.
All right. Everybody hear that?
Yep, clearly. Happy to second that.
Seconded Councillor Deacon.
I just hear that a bit clearer. I just couldn't quite pick it up.
Sorry.
Yes.
Can you hear that,
Councillor Bell?
Start again.
Your microphone's not on.
I don't think it worked.
Oh, we have no right.
Post-election, but before the end of the calendar year, the 2003 MOU will be reviewed and partnership be defined.
Can I speak to that?
Yes.
It doesn't actually give us enough time, if you think about it.
No.
So if you go with the results coming in October... And then the end of the year.
Confirmed in early November.
Yeah, I'm not opposed to the sentiment of this at all. I just think that if we're going to do this, as I said in my original speech, let's start doing it now.
Now, yes.
You know, start, okay?
Yeah.
That's good.
Well, you see, you could. It's a discussion that at least you can start now and then let the new council finish it off.
And approve it.
But it's you can't make any decisions. It's just a discussion.
The time frames are... removed, and the 2003 MOU will be reviewed and partnership defined.
Right up. Second, are comfortable with that? Everybody clear of the recommendation now?
Yep.
All right, all in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you very much. Look, we've had a couple of hours already. I'll adjourn the